to say thank you to him. Lift up those hands again for all the testimonies that you have experienced individually, that we have experienced collectively as a church. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him praise. Let's give him glory and honor and magnify his name. Father, we thank you again. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. For everything you are giving God thanks for this month, by this time next month, you are returning with multiple testimonies. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With a smile on your face, you want to congratulate your neighbor for me on your right and left. Tell your neighbor congratulations. For the remaining days of this year, you will be hearing only congratulations. The remaining days of this year, you will be hearing only congratulations. The remaining days of this year, you will be hearing only congratulations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be seated. Understanding pathways to sanctification. We are rounding it off this Sunday, part 4A. Understanding pathways to sanctification. Glory to God. And the psalmist made a very important statement in Psalms 23, verses 1 to 3. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil." Glory to the Lord. The TLB translation puts it like this. It says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He says, he gives me new strength. He helps me to do what honors him most. I can make effort," in other words, "I can make effort to be righteous, but the ultimate help of righteousness comes from God." He said, "He helps me to do what honors him most." In NLV translation, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will have everything I need." He said, "He lets me rest in fields of green grass. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He makes me strong again." And then he said, "He leads me in the way of living right with himself, which brings honor to his name." He leads me in the way of living right with himself. He is the one that leads when it comes to righteousness. He empowers for righteousness for his name's sake. That was why Paul said in Romans chapter 7, 14 to 20, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." The law is spiritual. He said, "But I am carnal." He said, "Sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me." And then he went on and said, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present to me with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, that I would, I do not." He says, "But the evil which I would not, that I do." Now he said, "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." In other words, there is a time I cannot even control myself anymore. It is the sin inside of me, in my flesh, that is controlling me. And that's where we need the help of God. Verses 21 to 25, it says, "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If I find then a law that When I will do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Then Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh of the law is sin. There is a war against righteousness going on in my system, and only God can help me. That's what Paul was saying. An angel went to Zerubbabel, and the Bible says concerning him, in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, he says, Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? He says, Thou shalt be made a plain. Thou shalt be a plain. In other words, when the spirit of the Lord comes, he helps us to subdue sin. Who art thou, great mountain of sin? The Spirit of God in us will help us to subdue the mountain of sin. But what happened before that? Before that prayer? Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. He says, And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and said unto those that stood before him, saying, That is the Lord speaking now. Take away the filthy garment from him now. Take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. I will help you because you need empowerment to overcome unrighteousness. Even the priest was at the risk of unrighteousness and needed help. However, if while we need the help, or we need empowerment to overcome sin, righteousness still demands personal responsibility from us. While we still need the help of God to overcome sin, well, it still requires our personal responsibility in overcoming sin. And so right now, let's take a look at what are the pathways to sanctification. Pathways to sanctification. Number one is purge yourself. Purge yourself. Say to your neighbor, purge yourself. Purge yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. It says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It says, But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. It said, If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor. How? Sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So we have a responsibility to purge ourselves. To purge means to get rid of whatever is impure or undesirable. To purge simply means getting rid of anything that is impure or undesirable. It means to cleanse. To purge means, it means to purify. It is our responsibility. Exodus 19 and verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Go unto them. I'm coming down to visit with them, but I cannot visit with the unclean. Good word translation of that scripture. It says, So the Lord said unto Moses, Go to the people and tell them they have 2 days to get ready. They must set themselves apart as holy. They must set themselves apart as holy. They have a responsibility to set themselves apart as holy. Have them wash their clothes. They have a responsibility to purge themselves. 1 John 3:3, and every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. No one can purge you for you. You and I have a responsibility to purge ourselves for ourselves. Everyone that is purged is the one that benefits from his purging. Glory to the name of the Lord. Number two, what are the pathways to sanctification? Power of testimonies. The power of testimonies. What does that mean? Testimonies are powerful. We can engage the purity testimonies of others for our own sanctification. If God can do it for one, God can do it for all. If he can do it for him, he can do it for me. If he can do it for her, he can do it for me. Psalm 119 and verse 111, it says, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. There is overcomer's power in testimonies. Overcomer's power. One way God helps us overcome the power of sin is via the power of testimonies. You know, somebody's testimony of righteousness can be your liberation from unrighteousness. Some paying attention to the testimony of righteousness can be our liberation from unrighteousness. Remember the Bible speaking in Revelations 12 and 11. They overcame him by the word of their, by the word of the Lamb, blood of the Lamb, and by the words of their testimonies. They overcame by the blood and testimonies, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I've had several testimonies of people who said, well, I came to the church, I was struggling with this, I was struggling with that, and then I came to the church, I had the testimony of somebody, and I knew that I needed to get out of it. Testimonies are powerful. Stop closing your ears to the testimonies of others, no matter how minute you think their issues are. Testimonies of someone may be the liberation of another. Nobody will be found in unrighteousness again. What are the pathways to sanctification? Number three, subdue the desires of the flesh by the Spirit. Subdue the desires of the flesh by the Spirit. Subdue the desires of the flesh by the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 13. He said, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. He says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. ICB, International Children's Version of the Bible, is a very interesting one. He says, if you use your lives to do the wrong things your sinful selves want, then you will die spiritually. He says, but if you use the Spirit's help to stop the wrong things you do with your body, then you will have true life. The Spirit helps us to subdue the flesh. You know, I learned something from one of the pastors that the reason, I can't remember what, maybe it was Covenant Hour of Prayer, I can't remember the service. He said, the reason the flesh wants to overtake the Spirit is because the flesh knows that it's not going to heaven. The flesh is not going to heaven, so it doesn't care what you do with your spirit. It wants as much. Only the spirit goes back to where it came from. The flesh also goes back to where it comes from. So we are not, the flesh is always struggling with the spirit because he knows it's not going to heaven. And that is why we must engage the spirit to subdue the flesh. He's not going to heaven. So he doesn't care whether your spirit goes or not. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want your spirit to go. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Every of his desire is to lust against the Spirit, is to make sure that everything that the Spirit needs to do, the Spirit is not doing it. The flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. Why? Because one's desire is heaven, the other one is to go back to where it came from in the dust, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And look at the works of the flesh. Verses 19 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. What are they? Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rebellions, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The body is going to the earth, so it's not going to heaven, so it does not care. And now what is the remedy? To subdue the flesh, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Colossians 3 verses 5 to 6, mortify, or another word for mortify is subdue. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Subdue them, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He says, mortify them. Colossians 3, 12 to 16. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. How do we mortify them? He gave us this. You know, one thing I love about Paul is that he will not tell you the problem without providing the solution. He gave us the problem, and then he's telling us the solution. How can we do this? Then he said in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you also, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell, of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. From that scripture, I looked up seven ways to subdue the flesh. Seven ways to subdue the flesh. One, be kind. Number one, be kind. If you are kind, it will eliminate all manner of things surrounding hatred. Be kind. Number two, be merciful. If we are merciful, we will not. It will eradicate all manner of things. Number three, be humble. Number four, be patient. Then number five, he said, forgive. Number six, he says, be thankful. And finally, he says, feed on the word daily. When all these are in place, it takes care of the flesh. These 7 points takes care of the flesh. Be kind, be merciful, be humble, be patient, forgive, be thankful, feed on the word daily. It gives us capacity to subdue the flesh. One other requirement that takes care of the flesh is prayer. Jude verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So anytime the spirit, the flesh wants to take over the spirit, we take over the spirit in prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer will command the help of the Spirit to subdue the flesh. Glory to God. What are the pathways to sanctification? Number four, have faith. Have faith. Tell your neighbor, have faith. It is faith that will make all pathways, all the above three pathways work. Faith. 1 John 5, 14 to 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And his will is that we live a sanctified life. So if we ask in faith, he says we will receive it. He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we can ask for sanctification by faith, then we will walk in sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That they tell you everybody is doing it does not mean everybody is doing it. That's not true. We can walk in sanctification by faith. Matthew 21, 22, he says, and all things whatsoever ye ask, ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive it. Ye shall receive it. And when we begin to walk in sanctification, we begin to enjoy the benefits of sanctification. And so quickly, let's take a look at some benefits of sanctification. Benefits of sanctification. Number one is express rescue when under attack. Express rescue when under attack. Listen to me very carefully, people of God. The sanctified will always be under attack from the pits of hell. The sanctified will always be under attack, but the sanctified will always enjoy rescue. Glory to God when they are under attack. Psalm 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So the righteous are always surrounded by divine army. There is always a divine army that surrounds them. They may be challenged, but they can never be defeated. The righteous may be challenged, but they can never be defeated. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of some of them. The Lord delivered him out of them all, out of them all. They suffered the most attack, but they enjoyed the most victory. They suffered the most attack, but they enjoyed the most victory. Psalm 125, verses 1 to 3. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth his hands into iniquity. The lot of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, so that the righteous is not disgraced. The disgrace of the righteous is the disgrace of God. And God cannot be disgraced. So that's why every time the righteous is in trouble, heaven rises to their defense. Take a look at this. 1 Peter 3 and verse 13. And who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good. The sanctified will always be under attack, but the sanctified will always be surrounded by heaven. Glory to God. Benefits of sanctification number two guarantees peace and serenity. Peace and serenity. The sanctified experience will always enjoy peace. Prophet Isaiah said something in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 to 4. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is he heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None called for justice, nor any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockroach's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth out of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. And then it went on and on and on. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. As a result, they lacked peace. Verse 8 said, because of their iniquity, the way of peace they do not know. The way of peace they do not know. Anyone walking living an unsanctified life is living a heart palpitation life. They do not enjoy peace. He said, the wicked flee. You know, Proverbs 28 and verse 1. When no man pursueth him. I said it last Sunday. Was it last Sunday? That if you are driving somewhere and then all of a sudden you see a police car behind you, and the police car, and you know something is wrong. The man didn't put on his light. It's just, you are just all going the same way. You turn right. You are supposed to turn left, but you turn right. That, no. This man is following me. It's very risky. You turn right. The man turns right with you. And then you see, you are already lost because you don't even know where you are going again. You have already missed your way. You turn left, he turns left with you. Ah. And then you pretended as if he wanted to stop. He pretends as if he wants to stop. Glory to God. You turn right again, he turns right with you. And then you know it's over. It is over. But then all of a sudden, you entered somebody's house just to park there. You entered somebody's house just to park there, and the man keeps going. He was not following you. It's just coincidence that you are going the same way. But why was your heart palpitating? Because your driver's license has expired. And so you think he has found you out. And that's why you are not at peace. You are just doing, you know, let me just turn left here. You know what? Let me turn left again here. And then you become lost. The wicked flee when no man is running after him. You won't be found there. But when sin was eliminated, Isaiah chapter 32 tells us what happened next. Isaiah 32, 17 to 18. When sin was eliminated, the Bible says, and the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. The works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Quietness and assurance forever. Quiet. You will enjoy quietness. You will enjoy peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, number 3, what are the benefits of living a sanctified life? Guarantees access to divine secrets. If you are desirous of access to divine secrets, then live a sanctified life. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that Daniel the righteous. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. Daniel the righteous, Daniel enjoyed a secret, the secret of God. Daniel had access, guaranteed access to the secrets of God. God owns the secrets, but unveils them to the righteous. Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us. Who? To our children, and to our children forever. But the psalmist tells us who the secrets are revealed to. Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. You won't lack his secrets again. I said you will not lack secrets again. In Jesus' name. What are the benefits of living a sanctified life? Number four, guarantees supernatural supplies. The righteous will not lack. The righteous. From that choir ministration this month, I heard one of the verses that said, he pays the bills or something like that. Glory to God. So the righteous are not struggling to pay the bills. He pays the bills. He does everything for them. There is regular heavenly supply to the righteous. Regular heavenly supplies, whereby the righteous didn't even know that salaries have been paid. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. The righteous enjoy supernatural abundance. You know, I love this scripture. Psalms chapter 33, 18 to 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. He will keep them alive and have them enjoy when there is famine. He will keep them alive. Now, I found out that scriptures leads to scriptures. Scriptures explain scriptures. So I was looking at another scripture last night. You know, this one we just read now said in Psalm 33 and verse 19, it says righteousness will deliver their soul from death. Put it up there again. Psalm 33, 19. It says, righteousness will deliver their soul from death and will keep them alive in famine. Now, then the Holy Ghost pointed me to Job 36, 11. He said, if they obey, who? The righteous, obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So they will be preserved to enjoy. There will be preservation for enjoyment. Even in their old age, they are still enjoying the blessings of the Lord. He says in their old age, they will still be what? Fruitful. In old age, even in famine where everybody is running helter-skelter. You know, COVID time was the best time for some people. COVID time, when people were struggling, when many people were struggling, was the best time. In the lives of some people, you won't have a better last year. In the name of Jesus Christ. When the psalmist says something, pay attention to it. When the psalmist repeats something, pay attention to it. Psalm 37 again, 18 to 19. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And then he said, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And he said, this is the reason I'm repeating it. Verse 25. He said, I have been young. Now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. The psalmist says, I have been young, but now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, even now, it didn't happen then. It didn't happen now. It won't happen forever. Yeah. I have been young, but now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God will always make provision for the righteous, even in the times of famine. The righteous will not need to dip their hands in some things to make up some things in the times of famine. God will just simply make ways for them. God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, said when he had his first child, or was his second child? First child. He says there was shortage of baby milk. He said, even if you have the money, you can't buy it because it's not available. He said, then one, the money they were supposed to use to buy it, he said, the Lord said, give it out. He gave the money out. And then somebody drove to the house later with a trailer load of baby food. If he said, even the adults will turn to baby food now because there is too much. It's too much baby food. I have been young, but now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. From now, you will not be, you won't beg. Your children will never beg. Neither will they borrow. What are the benefits of living a sanctified life? Number 5, guarantees generational blessing. You remember the last scripture we read? I have been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Generational blessings are guaranteed. Psalm 37 and verse 25 again. I have been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It did not happen then. It cannot happen now. Psalm 20 and verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Sanctification has a way of rubbing off on the generations of the righteous. Sanctification, rubbing off. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, as his righteousness endures forever. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. I will personally, God speaking, he says, I will personally preserve his legacy. I will personally preserve. He will not need to struggle to be remembered. Psalm 112 and verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in what? Everlasting remembrance. I learned something from God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo. He said something. You know, he said, when I'm gone, don't name any school after me. All these universities, he said, don't name anyone after me. You don't need to name a school after him to preserve the legacy of that name. The Oyedepo name will be alive until Jesus comes. I mean, understand what Jesus is saying. Glory to God. The righteous shall live. He understood this one, and that's why he said, I'm going to live. If you change any name, because God gave those schools the names. If you change any name to my name when I'm gone. Now, there are people who you have changed an entire airport to their name. Am I making sense? Where are their children? It is not the name, it is not the building that makes us remember the name, it is the impact. Impact has followed and by generations, taken over from one generation to the other, from one generation to the other, from one generation to the other. Can you forget Billy Graham's name? Can you forget their names now? They didn't name any school or airport after them. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Glory to the name of the Lord. I said glory to the name of the Lord. Genesis 22, 16 to 18. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So you now say, let's look for one airport and name Abraham. Abraham Airport. People will be asking, which Abraham is that one? Can you forget the name of it? Can Abraham's name be wiped out forever? No.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We still talk about it, about those names forever. We will talk about those names until Jesus comes. What are the benefits of living a sanctified life? Number six, our eternity is secured. The reason you go to work is to get paid. In fact, if they tell some people here, and I know it's everybody, that don't worry, for the next 6 months, don't come to work, we'll still be paying you. You can come if you like. Everybody like that one. You won't need to go. You won't go. Even if you want to go, you won't even go. Even if they now say, glory to God. When there was work from home, compulsory work from home, I heard some people complaining, oh, this work from home is so tiring. Now they say, come back. They don't want to go. Come back to work. They don't want to go. Now they know the benefit of working from home. Now they don't want to go back. So the reason we go to work is to get paid. The reason for our salvation is eternity. Anything and everything we do on the earth is temporary. Eternity is final and the end. That's where we will live forever. So all the work we are doing here on earth is preparation of living in eternity. Everything we are doing now is preparation for eternity. Ephesians 5:5-8. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If we enjoy life, long life here with prosperity, then we can also enjoy eternity with Christ. So it's a win-win for us. We enjoy prosperity with long life, and then we enjoy eternity with Jesus Christ. That would be our testimonies. I said that would be our testimonies in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, number seven, as we close, what are the benefits of sanctification? Number seven, access to our covenant highways is granted. Access to our covenant highways is granted. In real life, listen to me, your Canadian driver's license, for example, determines the kind of road you have access to. Am I making sense? There are some people, that is why they are categorized. There are some people, if they find you on the highway with your kind of driver's license, they will take that driver's license from you, because it already says that you are not permitted to drive. Maybe not in, is it applicable here in Alberta? Because I know in Ontario or something like that, there's something like that. There is a class A or class, If they find you on the highway, they can take that driver's license back from you. So you can only take the back road or the main road where there is traffic. Our class of driver's license to accessing that highway is sanctification in the realm of the spirit. Your driver's license to accessing our covenant highway must say sanctified. Sanctified. The highway takes you to your destination faster than taking the back road. Am I making sense? Why? Because there are no stop signs there. There are no traffic lights there. Nothing slows you down. It's a highway for you to get to your destination faster. But for someone that has the other driver's license, there is caution. When you are going, it says don't pass this 50 km. And then at a point, it says stop sign. Let every other person pass. You get to your destination longer than the one that passes through the highway. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall be for those, the wayfaring men, that this highway is not a way for the unclean. It is not a way for the mighty. It is for a group of people that already have the tag sanctified. You'll be found there. I said you'll be found there. One cost of ungodliness as we leave this morning. Cost of ungodliness. What will ungodliness cost us? Access to the presence of God is blocked. Ungodliness blocks access to the presence of God. And you will agree with me that you need nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing except the presence of God. David cried to God when he sensed that God's presence was about leaving him. Psalm 51 verses 11 to 12. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. And then in verse 13, it says, when you have done that, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. After you have done it for me, you have restored me, I will restore others. After you have restored me, I will make sure I call others to be converted. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, Simon, Luke 22, 31 to 32. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Without righteousness, we cannot receive access to God's presence. All you'll be hearing when you are scanning the thing is access denied. Access denied. Access denied. Access will not be denied for you. I said access will not be denied for you. Access will not be denied for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's servant said, he announced when they were moving to Canaan land. Well, they said, people will not come. He said, if anybody does not go there, I will be there by myself. It is better for everybody to leave than for the presence of God to leave. If everybody leaves, it is better than for the presence of God to leave. Why? Because the best of men at their very best are still men. Today they will cry, Hosanna to the Son of David, and in 7 days' time, crucify him. So what presence do you need? The presence of God. As long as God is still there, then you are still safe. Rise up on your feet. Let's give God thanks this morning. Someone that is blessed, give God praise, give God glory, and give him honor. Let's give him all adoration. Father, we thank you. We exalt your name. We magnify you. Thank you and thank you and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed and blessed be your name. In Jesus' most mighty name, we have given thanks. Amen. Well, somebody needs to make it right with God this morning. Two categories of people. Somebody that wants to give their life to Jesus. And someone that wants to rededicate their life. Very quickly this morning. You want to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. All heads bowed and all eyes closed now. You are in the first category. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to be born again. Put your right hand on your heart wherever you are. Let me quickly pray with you. Put your right hand on your heart, online and on ground. If you are doing that, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And for the second category, you want to say, Lord Jesus, I know I was with you before, but I walked out on you, and now I want to return. Why not this morning also? Put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you. And if you are doing that in those both categories, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again.
that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
You said that prayer in your heart. Why don't you wave your hands to Jesus if you're on ground here right now? Somebody will be by your side to assist you. You said that prayer online. Why not also send us a text message to the number that is being displayed right now, and we will also be getting in touch with you. Remember, be reminded, sanctification, the reason of everything we are doing here right now is because of eternity. Eternity is what matters. Everything we are doing now is temporal, but eternity is eternal. No one will miss it. Ah, I said nobody will miss there. Is somebody interested in getting there? Let me see your hand. You won't miss out.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Help me congratulate your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, we'll live together here. And when we get there, I'll still see you. When we get there, I will still see you. My mansion will be by your own mansion. My mansion will be by your own mansion. We are going to be neighbors over there. In Jesus' name. But please take note. No one is dying now.
Amen.
No one dies now.
Amen.
No one is going anywhere now. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be.